Scripture is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, and it reads, "The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, but people's trickery, but their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord.
Christ. Finally, I'm home. After wandering for 10 years serving in St. Gabriel, I feel more at home here in this church. This is my home. You know, I became a member of COMC in the year 1990, when Sandy and I, and with Joanna and Jonathan, moved to California from Hong Kong. And I still remember Mrs. Zhang and Karen. They were baptized here by Reverend Xu on the same Sunday when Sandy and I transfer our membership to COMC. I praise God that Karen and Hero, they are serving the church so well, and Mrs. Zhang is so faithful serving the church here today. Because of ordination, now my membership belongs to the California Pacific Conference. Otherwise, I would still be a member of COMC. But anyway, this is my home. I love this church. I love the people here, all of you. I love this sanctuary. It's so close. I love the stained glass windows. I remember they were donated by Catherine and Jean's family and a couple others. And I love the bell, the music that was played every Sunday morning. It was beautiful, beautiful Christian hymns. Being a pastor in Chinatown for 13 years and pastor in St. Gabriel for 10 years, I met many friends who came to church for different reasons. Many Christians want to find a church to attend, or they want their church to be an ideal church. They want the church to be good, to be the best. And I saw many people coming to church, visiting churches. Some of them came because of their friends. Some of them just walked in. Many of them, literally many of them, are just shopping churches, hoping to find a church that suits their taste. I remember a young man who came to St. Gabriel Church. They had been in St. Gabriel for a couple of years. And one day he came to me and said, "Pastor, I want to leave this church. I want to join another one." I was surprised. "Why do you want to leave?" And he said, "Well, when I came in, frankly, I saw many people with white hair." By that time, my hair was still black. That's why he still could say that. I saw a lot of old people, and I would like to find a church that has more young people like me. He's young. He's a young adult. Also, the songs, the hymns that you are singing, they're too old. I like contemporary praise music. I tried to keep him, but I failed. Finally, he and his wife, his newlywed wife, they left the church. I know many people are looking for the following things when visiting a church: music that suits their taste. Some of them like classical hymns, while others prefer contemporary hymns. Finding people of their own age has ample space for activities, has a big parking lot, has attractive pastors and sermons. It's good to have free lunch after worship. What makes an ideal church? In Ephesians, the text that we have just listened to, in the book of Ephesians, there is a very important message about the church. The basic question is, what is the church? The church is the body of Christ. The church is one in the Lord. It is not a physical or a worldly organization. The church is really organic. There are many gifts in the church for the building up of the body of Christ. All members of the body, the hands, the legs, the eyes, the ears, the organs, all work together. If one member suffers, everybody suffers. So the church is like a human body. In order to be healthy, all the members coordinate well. Before we look at the text about the church, dear brothers and sisters, there are two things to consider when looking for a church. Number one, the standard for an ideal healthy church is not according to your own will. It's according to God's will. What does God like the church to be? People shop churches according to their own taste, their own standard. But the ideal church must be according to what God wants the church to be and what mission God gives to the church. Number two, an ideal church is not sought from outside of it. It's built by the members, by its own members, from within the church itself. Many people shop churches. I met some people who have been shopping churches for over a year. In the past few years, I encountered several people. They came from other churches. They are visiting our church, and they have been visiting our church for a couple of years. And I was asking them, are you going to stay? Will you stay in our church? He said, no, oh, well, I'm still considering. Even after a couple of years, he's still considering whether he or she would like to stay. They are trying to find an ideal church. Well, these are the two principles that we should consider first. All right, then, now, we're going to look at, in the light of today's text, Ephesians chapter 4, to look at what the ideal church really is like. Number one, the ideal church is built on the faith, the Word of God. In today's text, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Here, you can see the unity of the faith is emphasized. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and that is the revealed truth of God. The apostles and early fathers, church fathers, emphasized the authenticity of the faith, for they were faced with heresies. What is authentic faith? It includes the incarnation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. It includes justification by faith, not by work, and other doctrines. I appreciate our UMW sisters for their work couple of weeks, 1 week before Easter, they make this banner. He's risen. Beautiful banner. He is risen. That is an important faith that we uphold. This year is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. On October 31st, 1517, a German monk, Catholic monk, Martin Luther, nailed 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church in Germany. Thus started the Reformation. The 95 theses were about the wrongs of the Roman Catholic Church at that time. The Roman Church deviated from the authentic faith of God. For example, in order to raise funds, the Roman Church sold indulgences to please say to the people, if you pay for the indulgences, the souls of your loved ones can go to heaven at once. From the Bible, Martin Luther knew that we are saved by faith and by God's grace, not by human work, not by how much you pay. What does this mean to us today? We must read the Bible, the Word of God, in order that we know what we believe. We won't believe in the wrong doctrine. As Paul said here, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wing of doctrine. And that is why we have Bible study, we have Sunday school, we have vacation Bible school. As Christians, we should read, diligently read, study God's Word every day. We hope that we are not only believers, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. So, the faith, the unity of the faith, the authenticity of the faith is important. And that is why proclamation on the pulpit is very important. We proclaim God's Word to the congregation, to the people, from the Bible. Also, we share God's Word with others, and that's why we emphasize evangelism. We have English class. We have teachers who have been teaching English for many, many years to reach out to our community. We have the children's choir to reach out to our community. I'm glad recently we saw some parents coming to our church, English or Chinese services, because their children come to our children's choir or vacation Bible school. As an ideal church, we are united in faith. This is number one. Number two, an ideal church has mature understanding of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those who want to receive baptism must be taught about the biblical faith, what we believe, why you want to be baptized. But a person must not stop there. Well, I am baptized, I'm done. No, this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning in your pilgrimage, in your journey of faith. He or she must know Christ deeply. As Paul said, to attain to the fullness of Christ, the fullness of Christ, not part of Christ. And that is also the goal of the Christian life, attain to the fullness of Christ. What does it mean to know Christ deeply? To know Christ is not only to believe in Him, but to experience Him. Do not be satisfied with being a baby in the faith. I still remember when Hero was younger, we call him baby. No, no more, no more. He's a man. He's a man. We must attain maturity in the faith so that we can have the love, the gentleness, the patience, the righteousness, and the holiness of Christ. Furthermore, a person must not be satisfied with being an almost Christian, as John Wesley described some Christians to be. They are almost Christians. Maybe they are only Christians in name, but not in actual fact. We must be a perfect, a whole Christian. To be a real disciple of Christ, a real Christian, a person must know the meaning of the incarnation of Christ, that Jesus is both human and God, and we must live out the virtues of Christ. Christ is the goal of the church. If every member of our church can reach the maturity in the knowledge of Christ, our church will be able to be really the light, the beacon in the community in Chinatown. And we can, as our CalPAC conference emphasizes, make disciples of Jesus Christ for what? For the transformation of the world. You must have listened to this many, many times from your pastor. Well, we must not only listen to it, just listen to it. You must understand it, understand what it means to you. Transformation of the world is not a simple thing. You must know Christ deeply. Who is Christ? Who is God? So that you can really be transformed yourself first, and then you help to transform our world. We not only know Christ, we must live a really Christ-like life. Dear brothers and sisters, we are facing many challenges in our world today. We have wars, violence, we have moral issues, so many that I just cannot name all of them. To know Christ helps us to understand the meaning of life, the meaning of pain, the meaning of suffering, the meaning of living today. To know Christ is to attain to the maturity. This is an important quality of an ideal church. Number three, last but not the least, an ideal church is built on loving fellowship. Verses 15 and 16 of the text, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There are two things in the phrase, speaking the truth in love. Number one, attitude. It's about attitude, the word love. Number two, it's about action, speaking the truth. So now we have attitude, love, and we have speaking the action. Speaking the truth means proclaim the truth in love. Some people criticize Christians as mere talkers and not walkers. We talk beautifully, but we don't live out what we talk. Speaking the truth in love is a good exhortation for us today. Sometimes we have love, but we do not speak the truth. We only praise people, oh, you're good, oh, good job, well done, but we don't correct their wrongs. On the other hand, sometimes we have truth, we believe we have truth, we are honest, but we do not have love. We criticize people for their wrongs, but we don't care for their feeling. So the people whom we criticize lose their confidence. Wow, so it's an art. It's something to be learned seriously, how to speak the truth in love. This is something we need to learn. Love is the most important element in the church. With love, members of the church can cooperate well and the church can function effectively. How can the church carry out its mission? I really appreciate the loving fellowship that we are enjoying in Chinatown here, in our church, in CUMC. We are building our church on the love of Christ, and we are building our church on our love for our brothers and sisters. There is a very good exhortation from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Here it reads, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers," and I want to add sisters and sisters, "love one another deeply from the heart." Oh, this is a beautiful picture of an ideal church that we are aiming at. And I hope our church here is an ideal church. In the year 1990, this church was celebrating its centennial. And now 27 years have passed. CUMC is 127 years old since its founding in 1890. And this very sanctuary that we are worshiping was built in the year 1947. And now this year we should be celebrating the 70th anniversary of the building of our sanctuary. Praise God for CUMC. And I praise God for the people here. You are loving, friendly, and faithful. Faithful. I really appreciate the word faithful. You are all faithful members. And that is why I say, and I always say, CUMC, in CUMC, I feel at home. My prayer is that we will continue to build our church, the body of Christ, to make it a really ideal church. And my prayer for you, dear brothers and sisters, is that you attain to the unity of the faith, and you have Christ as the center of your faith, and you love one another sincerely and deeply. May we, all of us together, continue to work together closely to shine the light of Christ in Chinatown. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for giving us Chinese United Methodist Church, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the witness of your love and salvation in this community. May your Holy Spirit be with the church so that we will continue to know you and to love you. And we will also love one another sincerely and deeply as brothers and sisters, so that the community will know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we continue with our service at this time, now it's time for offering. I ask the ushers to come forward. All rise for our doxology. Please remain standing for the prayer of dedication. Dear Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in many different ways, Lord. This Sunday, Lord, we ask you to put your blessings on these monetary gifts, Lord, as we donate them back to this church, Lord. Lord, just help us use these funds to further your work in this church and also outside of Wallsey's church, Lord. At the same time, Lord, just help us be an ideal church at this time, Lord, and just help these funds just continue to make this church an ideal church, Lord. We ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now it's time for announcements. We have various announcements on the screens and also on the right hand side of your bulletin. Do you have any announcements from the floor? Okay, Jenny? Are there any other announcements? All right. Oh, OG. Are there any other announcements? All right. If not, let's continue with our closing hymn. Please rise if you're able.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and a word. From heaven He came as altar to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Elect from every nation.